Certainly we thank the Lord for each and every one gathered together in this morning worship service. Kind of a special day. All our minds are turned to mothers, the thought of mothers and the greatness of God's gift of giving us mothers. And I just take a moment to say thank God for mothers. And I'd say this to every one of yours alive, and you can get to her, get to her. Tell her how much you love her. Put a kiss on her cheek for the blessing she's given you. If she's too far away for you to get to her, then call her. And all we whose mothers are going on, I say we need to pause and thank God for what God gave us and the precious memories we can enjoy today because of God's goodness shown forth to us. Oh, how thankful we are. You know, the gifts that God gives are good and perfect gifts, every one of them. And we thank God for it. We're thankful, as we said already, for this day, and we've been traveling back and forth to Springfield preaching each night, but along with studying, preparing for the messages there, our mind has been open to God in regard to this day. And God directed me back in Exodus, the second chapter. And there we're going to read, soon we have prayer, about a godly mother. And some things there that certainly thrill our heart. I kind of preached some of this message to Brother Romine and Brother Craig the other night going in the car. I told them what God had told me. We all wept together. Oh, the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God to everyone that will look to Him by faith. Father, we thank Thee this morning again for every blessing of the past, and we tremble with the responsibility that's ours to stand between You and these eternity-bound souls. My God, our hearts are touched today. A tender spot is found when we think upon our mothers. And we pray while our hearts are tendered that they'll be tendered to a deeper degree. And we'll turn to the God that gave us mother, along with every other good and perfect gift that we've enjoyed, and honor Thee and find a real experience with Thee and serve Thee. Bless these people today. Move on our hearts. Let Your word prosper in just what You're sending it for today. In Jesus' name. Amen. In Exodus, the second chapter, we're going to read 10 verses again about the birth of Moses. And look at a godly mother here this morning and see if her life won't challenge and bring some help to us. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, he was a goodly child. And she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein and laid it in the flags by the river brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I'll give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him up. I brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, for she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Now, we'll not spend a lot of time with history because of time getting away, but we just break in by saying in B.C. 29, our 1290, over 3,000 years ago, a young man named Amram and his wife called Jochebed, or Jochebed, had a child born unto them in a very perilous time. This was the first thought that struck me, and because certainly we are bringing children into the world and children are being reared today in very perilous times, even as the Bible declares. And we have a picture before us of a man and woman bringing a child into the world in a very perilous time. They already had two children. Aaron was the oldest. Miriam was next. And now this little baby, born Moses, or named Moses, was born unto them. I won't say too much about the time other than to just get the setting. Amram and Jochebed were both slaves. Amen. If we go back to the history of the time, you can catch some of it in the first chapter. God's people had been carried away into Egyptian bondage. And every time they got along good at their work, they were put at work of pressing bricks. The Egyptians gathered the straw for them. But more and more, the king became heated against them, finally making them gather their own straw. Every man, woman, and child that was old enough either worked gathering straw or pressing brick in the brickyard. My friend, this oppression wasn't great enough. God's people, under the mighty hand of God, the scripture said, grew and multiplied and become a stronger people than the Egyptian. Pharaoh was fearful that they would take over his nation. So he made a decree. You can read it in Exodus, the first chapter, the 22nd verse. He charged all people, saying, every son that is born will be cast into the river and drowned. Amen. He made this law to stop the population. He thought by just letting the girl babies live that he could stop the population. And so when you begin to add it all up, realizing they were both in deep servitude, amen, had to work, both of them, very hard. It was in a perilous time, a perilous condition, and greater and more perilous was the fact that when the babe was born, he was born with a sentence of death hanging over him. My Bible said in that second verse that when he was born, she saw he was a goodly child. And I thought, as I thought upon that, it would make no difference if a mother's got a real mother's heart, how deformed the child might be. He'd be too good to be destroyed. When she looked on that babe, she said, he's too good. He's too precious to throw in the river. He's too precious to destroy. And right away, my friend, she began to think of how she could save the child from destruction. And I've often thought as I've studied this letter, my friend, how wonderful it would be if mothers were just as anxious for the moral preservation of their children as this woman was physical preservation. And I'll add to that that I believe real godly mothers are. I believe this morning that real godly mothers will stop at nothing to shelter, conceal their children from the great tyrant work of the enemy that's out to destroy the spiritual souls, the very moral portion of our children. Amen. So the Bible said she hid him 3 months in the house. But after 3 months, it was time she had to go back to work. Back to the brick kiln. Back to the field gathering straw. She could no longer keep him hid in her house. So she began to make a move. Somebody said, what was the first move she made? She began to call on God. I'm dealing with something this morning that didn't come about by luck or chance. Brother, there was a God in heaven that heard this mother's prayer, that saw the real desire of her heart, and he began to give her a plan whereby that boy could be preserved. Somebody said, I don't believe it. Well, when you get time, you read a lot about Moses and his birth, not only in the Old Testament. You can read it in the 7th chapter of Acts. You can read about it in Hebrews 11th chapter. And in Hebrews 11th chapter, 23rd verse, it said she made her moves by faith. By faith she hid the child. By faith. Faith in what? Faith in a living God whose power is greater than all the power and laws of kings and potentates, whose power is greater than the power of Satan, who is able to preserve when there's destruction on every side. Woo! Brother, let me tell you this morning, if we'll only do what Jesus said, start looking up and seek help from a higher power than on your right or on your left. There's a God that can still preserve your children, preserve your family, and save them from the destruction that's going on all around us. She made these moves by faith. She didn't come up with an idea. It wasn't by luck or chance that the king didn't kill this boy. She prayed. She cast him on the altar of the Lord. Said, Lord, the circumstance is beyond me. I'm not strong enough to fight Pharaoh and his army, but I know you are. I'm not wise enough to know how to outsmart the devil, but I know you are. By faith, she hid the babe. Amen. Oh, I'm taking time because two reasons. First of all, I want you to think. Second of all, this old man can't go every night like I'm going and have mind to stay out till 12:30 on Saturday night and get ready to preach to you on Sunday morning like I used to. But I'm still at it. And I'll say to you, just like Brother Riggle, thank God for every young minister. But as long as I'm around, you're going to eat my dust. Amen. Because I'm going to be true to God. And go ahead. I'm dealing with a God that's able. By faith, she hid the child. Oh, there's a lesson here, deeper, my friend, than I'm afraid we can get a hold of. She had faith in the unseen Jehovah. Not weak, lifeless, inoperative faith, but strong, powerful, operative faith. God, give us this kind of faith that's not afraid to operate. When God says do it, no matter how foolish it looks to the intellect, do it by faith in a God that'll work it out. Amen. You know, if there'd been any humans around, thank God. There's one thing about this lesson, she didn't tell nobody, not even her husband. And it's a good thing sometimes. Faith is individual. The Bible said if you have faith, have it yourself before God. You go around telling people what you think you're going to do, and they'll talk you out of it, just like they do today. Oh, yes, they will. Yeah, you better get over to the emergency room. Come on. I'm sure she'd have told her husband and some of her good friends, well, I'm going to build me a little ark. out of bulrushes and pitch it where the water can't get in it. And then I'm going to put it in the River Nile. Ah, no. The crocodiles will get him before Pharaoh ever has a chance. That River Nile's full of crocodiles. Where the king's daughter went to the river to wash, they had to lattice off a place to keep the crocodiles out so she could wash. A lot of people, you think that's strange, but if you go to me with Haiti, you see them yet go down the river and take their clothes off and take their bath. Amen. So my friend, God whispered a plan to her. And I say she in tears carried it out. You'd see her the night before she put that baby in the river. You'd see her up all night building the ark. Weaving that, had those weeds together. Putting the pitch on it. No doubt wetting it down with her tears. My friend, when morning come, time for her to go to work, 6 o'clock in the morning, about 4:30 or 5, she was out the river. Marion, you come along. She kissed that baby, closed the lid of that ark down, shoved it out in the river. Somebody said, how could you do it? My faith in God. Oh, God, help us this morning. We're in such a faithless world. Things just have to happen, you say. No, they don't. Thank God there's a God that made the crocodiles. He can shut the crocodile's mouth just like he shut the lion's mouth. He's a God that can take the fire and the heat out of the fire where you can stand in it and not be burnt. Faith in God. I see her this morning as a mother that dearly loved her babe. My. Kissed him goodbye, shut the lid, and shoved him out into the river and told Mary, now you stand back here and hide. Amen. Ain't no doubt in my mind. But what God revealed to her, what she gonna do? You take that babe, just don't put him in the river anywhere. Put him over her clothes where the king's daughter is gonna come to bathe after a while. I want her to see him. I want her to find him. Well, you know what happened? My friend, I say by faith, she believed that no matter how hopeless the circumstance was, with God, all things are possible. Right here this morning, we learn a lesson real quick. We learn how the transfiguring and ennobling, my friend, can transfigure and enable the weakest if they've got faith in God. Especially when it's lined up with unselfish human love. And I want to touch that point this morning. Right here's two of the greatest forces in the world. What are they? Faith in God and unselfish human love. Why do you bring up unselfish human love? There's too many that claim to be mothers today that love their self so much. They could think less about what happens to their children. As long as I have a good time, I have pleasure, anybody can keep me. They can stay in any environment just as so as I get out. I have a good time. We happen to be in perilous times because people are lover of their own self. They love their self more than they do their children. Come on, be honest with me. You know it's so. Long as I can run and drink and carouse and have a good time, so what? That's why you read of little children burning up at home themselves, and the police have to go to the beer joint and bring the mother out to tell her children's burned up. What causes that? A spirit that gets a hold of people and it's trying to get a hold of you and I, where we love ourselves much more than we love God. Even love our own offsprings. Brother, I say when you get faith hooked together with unselfish human love, well, I'd put it this way. Unselfish human love hooked together with real faith in God is enough to make the devil get cold feet. Brother, there's a force that he can't handle. There's a force he can't come up against. That's why he's working so to turn people. Amen. We're in a time when people got unnatural affection. Brother, God-given affection will turn you as a mother and as a father with an affection towards that child that you'd do anything. Do without sleep a whole week, every night. To care for a child that's sick and all the time tell God, make me sick, let the child be well. That's natural affection. But today we're cursed with unnatural affection in our nation. And somebody said, why has it happened? My friend, false religion is to blame for a whole lot of it. Amen. The word of God preached, the word of God lived by a people, will lift up a standard against this perilous condition that we've been thrown into. Just as sure we're here. Amen. Well, friend, somebody said, well, Brother Wilson, she took him and put him in the river. That's right. But look a little deeper. She not only put him in the river Nile, but she faithfully put him in God's hands. Oh, I see a deeper picture than pushing that little, amen, a box out from the bank and say, there you are, you're in the river's hand. The mother never said it. She said, there you are, you're in God's hands. I've done all I could do. I could do something else. But God, there's nothing more I can do. I'm putting this babe in your hands. What a wonderful place to put it. I put this babe in your hands, God. Now you can say what you want, and somebody said you got too much imagination, Brother Wilson. But I want you to think with me. My. First, I want you to think who this little fellow was. It was Moses. And right in that little casket, my friend, was much of the history of this world. Amen. Outside of Jesus Christ, you'll read more about Moses in this book than anybody else that ever lived. And that fellow was in this little, a box made of bulrushes and pitched. Amen. I say, and I don't know whether to say this or not, but I believe that God sent angels to keep the crocodiles on the other side of the river. Go back. Go back. Amen. Well, Pharaoh's daughter came down. I want to update here shortly. Pharaoh's daughter come down, time to take a bath. And when she came to the river, she saw that little ark floating there. Told one of her maids, go get that box, see what's in it. She brought it up and handed it to her, and she lifted the lid, unfastened it, and lifted the lid. And here goes my imagination again. I believe God sent an angel out of heaven to pinch that baby right at that time. Because he went, wah! Yes, sir. Amen. And the Bible said she had compassion on her. Now we've learned from experience. I've learned it through the years. When a woman's heart and a baby's tears meet, something happens. I said a woman's heart. We got too many women today that want to be men. They want to do everything a man does. Look like a man, cut their hair like a man, dress like a man. If you get around one of them, you'll find they don't have a woman's heart either. And they never will have a woman's heart till they humble themselves under the sound of the gospel in old time repentance, confess their sin, and let Jesus take that old heart out and put a new heart in. Yeah, he can renew a woman's heart within you if you lost it a long time ago. This daughter had a woman's heart. When that baby started crying, she said, "This is a Hebrew child. But you all hear me out now. Here's one that daddy gonna kill." This baby ain't gonna get killed. Well, don't you know where your daddy's made a decree and you know how he is? Amen. When it comes to his law, he ain't got no friends. I don't care what dad says. This baby ain't gonna get killed. And God had Mary in time. She run right up and said, "Now you know this is a Hebrew baby. You know you need a Hebrew to mother this child." And the king's daughter said, "Yes." Said, "I know where there's a good one." Down the road she went to the brick kiln. "Hey, Ma, come here." When she come back, she said, "Now you take this child and nurse him. And I'll pay you good wages." Brother, her work in the brick plant was over. Because she had honored God, God was going to pay her to do the things she wanted to do above everything else. She didn't want to work. No woman with a real mother's heart wants to work in the factories. She wants to be with her children, nurse her children, bring them up. Servitude put her in the brick kiln. But God's mercy took her out. Amen. Somebody said, "Brother Wilson, I'd like to be paid to nurse my own children." Well, this is exactly the message this morning. You're being paid in a greater way than you realize to take care of your children. God's got wages for you. Not only the wages of sin never go unpaid, God's wages never go unpaid. Just exactly what that daughter said to this mother: "Take this child and nurse him, and I'll give you thy wages." That's exactly what God is saying to every mother this morning. Every one of you that's got those little children in your control, God has blessed you with them. Take this child, nurse him, train him, and I'll pay you wages. I'm telling you right now, in this day when true motherhood's being forgotten, in this perilous age when people have become lovers of their own self, God's paying the highest wages he ever paid for someone that'll be a true mother. Take those children and nurse them and bring them up in a godly manner. Amen. Oh, Brother Wilson, you think it's that way? I know it's that way. Look at this text. This is my text this morning. "Take this child and nurse it, and I'll give thee thy wages." Going to be paid? Brother, she got on the payroll right there, going to get Egyptian gold for doing the thing she wanted to do. Doing the thing that old Pharaoh was going to stop her from doing. And I say, what a joke on Pharaoh. He's paying to educate the very boy that was going to raise up and put him in the sea. What a joke on the king. Brother, I'm here to tell you, it's hard to kick against the pricks. Whenever you think you can outsmart God, you got another think yet. God said, "That old guy's got so bold, he's going to kill everybody. I'm going to make him take this baby, pay for his keep, raise him up and school him, and then I'm going to let him turn around and punch him right in the nose and take my people out of here. Woo! I'm talking about having faith in God this morning. The problems of life, the perils of this day will get you down if you're not careful. And you look all around on every side and the devil make you feel there is no help. Look up to God. Have faith in God. He still delivers. He still delivers. We learn in this lesson how important a mother's work really is. A mother's work is the greatest work in the world, humanly speaking. Mother's work is so important that God wouldn't trust it with anybody but a mother. There is no substitutes for a mother. I repeat, her work is so important, he wouldn't trust it with anyone but a mother. How do you know? Well, we've got the picture right here. Brought the baby right back to his mother to nurse him and raise him up. Oh, mother, this morning you can get greater help than you're getting if you put your faith and trust in God in a greater way. God has ordained you to a very, very, very responsible position to nurse and care for that babe and raise it up in the right way. I say this morning, you can disagree with me, but I believe I'm right. The launching of a child to live for Christ is a greater work than launching a battleship. There wasn't a college professor in all Egypt that God would trust that baby with. Amen. He didn't say, take it over to Dr. Spook. He knows how to raise him. No, take him to his mother. A real mother this morning that puts her trust in God has got more know-how about how to raise a child than all the professors and all the books they can write. Someone said, and I agree with it, that God knew he couldn't be everywhere, so he gave us mothers. Being king or being president this morning is small potatoes compared to be a mother or a teacher of children. I wonder if we feel that responsibility. I believe one reason the children aren't being helped in a greater way, because we don't feel keenly enough the great responsible position God has given us to train a child, teach a child. This widens out from mothers to Sunday school teachers. Brother, if you've been placed in a place to teach children, you're in one of the most responsible positions. Far above being president of the United States. He's certainly got a job on his hands. Somebody said, why has he got such a big job? He's trying to govern a bunch of spoiled children. Amen. I say these feel places so great. Or I might put it down singularly, you fill a place so great as a mother this morning, a true godly mother, that there's not an angel in heaven that wouldn't be glad to give you a bushel of diamonds to boot if they could take your place. If I don't believe it, study the Word. They desired to look into these things. And I'm preaching on one of these things this morning, that God has ordained us as mankind to enjoy here on the earth. One of them is motherhood, fatherhood. The third one is family life. The angels know nothing about that. Amen. The mother of Moses done more for this world than all the kings of Egypt from Pharaoh's day till today. Moses has done more for this world than all those kings put together. To teach a child this morning to love truth and hate a lie. To teach and train a child to love purity and hate vice. You're getting that work done. It's greater than inventing a warhead or a nuclear instrument. Amen. Oh, it's very old-fashioned, but it's still true. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Oh, I don't believe there's so much power there. How come communism struck right into the heart of our power by disintegrating and tearing our family life asunder? The devil knows where the power is. Oh, yes, he does. Tell me this morning. I'm dealing with mother this morning. And you fathers can come along. Somebody said, where do we fit in? I almost told you this morning when they called me up there. Why would they call Brother Wilson up this Mother's Day? Well, if it hadn't been for me, she'd never been a mother. So I fit into the picture too. And if it hadn't been for her, I'd never been a father. Tell me this morning, mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, tell me, where did Moses get his faith? Come on, where did Moses get his faith? Oh, what faith he had in the unseen. He had faith in him who can't be seen with natural eye. Where did he learn that faith? He got that faith the same place that Timothy got his. Where did he get his? From his mother and from his grandmother.
Amen. True. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. God help us this morning. Let's not be deceived any longer. We're trying to reap things we've never sown. We want children to grow up with great faith in God, but never take time to have a family altar. Read the Bible stories to them. Teach them about God and his unfailing love and mercy.
Amen.
Now you're just going to reap what you sow.
Amen.
Where did he get his faith? He had faith in God. He sure did. He had so much faith in God that God had to personally come down and kill him to take him out of this life. Well, I read on Josephus the other day where it says he's a goodly child. Stephen preached in the 7th chapter of Acts that he was a proper child. Josephus said he was a child that was outstanding. Said it was nothing when his mother carried him down the road to have workmen stop their work and go over and look at that baby. His life was divided up into 40 years. 40 years in the palace. 40 years as a shepherd working the sheep. The last 40 years as a leader of God's people, bringing them out of Egypt. 40, 40, 40. Think with me. Where did he get that faith? I want to press this strong. Where did he get that backbone when he got 40 years old? She raised him up till it was time to wean him. And she took him to the palace. Come on, I want to show you a fearless mother that has faith in God. Took him to the palace, gave him to Pharaoh's daughter. She gave him a new name and said, now you're my son. Schooled him in the Egyptian schools. Come on now. Too many are scared to death what's going in our school. Brother, you need to be mothers and fathers. Keep the right atmosphere in the home. And all that the schools can do, they can't ruin your children. Woo! She turned him over to the Egyptians. They schooled him. He was great in wisdom and words, the Bible says. They schooled him. When he got 40 years old, back there you had to be 40 years old to be of age. Make your own decision. Boy, when his birthday come, he was 40. He went trotting in and said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Mama, I'm not your son. I belong to the Hebrews. Well, if you leave here, you're going to lose all the treasures. You're going to lose the chance of taking Papa's place. I don't care. I'd rather suffer reproach with the people of God." Don't tell me that boy didn't have training. Don't tell me he didn't have training. Where'd he get that backbone? That backbone ain't too many got today. To stand up and let people know you're a Christian. No matter how much the odds are against you. All right, you keep that up, you'll lose your job. Take that job. Give me Jesus. I'd rather suffer reproach with the people of God, he said, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin and Egypt for a season. Where'd he get that kind of backbone? Amen. Oh, Brother Wilson, he had a personal experience with God. This is very needful. But where did he get the ground roots? What is the beginning of it? Man, you never tell me Moses couldn't have faith in God. When that mother, before she ever took him away, and every time she could visit him, say, "Son, now don't forget, you was to be killed. But I made a little ark out of bulrushes and put you out in the Nile. God protected you." It's God that's doing all these things for us. Amen. Amen. Oh, Brother Wilson, you think it's that way? Yes, sir. Yes, sir, it's just like that. I say he got his faith where he could raise up and say, "I'm not, and I refuse to be called Pharaoh's son." Amen. Amen. When they offered him all the pleasures of Egypt, he said, "Excuse me, please. I'd rather go to church. Serve God." Come on now, where are we at this morning, church? Where's your rathers at? Well, God's looking. You can say what you want and hypocrisy's knee-deep today. But God's looking down in your heart. He sees your rathers. Which would you rather do? Go to revival or have a family outing? Pray to no preacher. I'll tell the truth. People have to tell it on the preacher. Well, this thing's serious. God's going to split eternity wide open one of these mornings. This old world's coming to an end very fastly. And the things that you're getting so enveloped in and putting in first place is going to send your soul to hell after you profess Christianity and even worked at the work of God.
Amen.
I would tell you that because I'm interested in you. Amen. You come just a little farther. Motherhood is a trust from God. I say, as Moses was put in the mother's arms and the princess said, "Go, nurse this child, raise it up, and I'll give you wages." God has put the babe in your arms to raise it and care for it. "Take this child and nurse it for me, and I'll give you thy wages," God said. Every child you got is a trust from God. He's a jewel. There's a picture on Bill's bulletin board. I'd like to have it on ours. A little old fella, he looks pretty dilapidated child. Looked like he'd been forgotten. But he said, "God loves me, I know, because he didn't make any junk."
Amen.
And he didn't make any junk. That babe that God has given you is a jewel. And God has given it to you to polish it. And then when you get it polished, he'll take it and put it in a crown. Oh, the responsibility of motherhood and parenthood this morning. I say to you this morning, and I'm taking a jump because the time's getting away. I say, mothers, do what the Bible said. Take that babe and nurse it. Somebody said you're just old-fashioned. No, I'm just teaching what the Bible said. There's a vast difference and a completely different atmosphere between a baby laying in a crib with an automatic bottle holder holding the bottle so it can drink, and a babe laying on a mother's breast while she rocks and sings to it. Amen. God didn't put the breasts on a woman down on her side or on her knees. He put them right up here close to the heart. So when you nurse that babe, you not only feed it, but you're holding it close to your heart, pressing it close to you. And that's doing something to that baby. Well, I don't think so. How come as soon as you lay him down, he cries? And as soon as you go pick him up and press him back there. He likes that. God likes it. Amen. Take this baby and nurse it. Take care of it. And I'll give you the wages, God said. I say, mothers, we need to nurse the babies. You need to nurse the babies. Sing to them. There's power in a mother's song. Them songs that mothers sing gets all tangled up in your heart. Amen. I can hear my mother yet. She was a very busy woman, school teacher, raised a family. But she had time to take care of the children. Everything's automatic now. We got bells on. When the bells goes off, we say, what's that? She could put biscuits in the oven and not burn them. And she didn't have no timer to go off. Come on. While the biscuits were in the oven, she'd churn with this hand and rock the cradle with her foot and sing, Rock of Ages, bless her. Amen. Well, I haven't got that kind of mind. You know why? You don't use it. You're too lazy to use your mind. Amen. God's got a law of elimination. What you don't use, you lose. Amen. I say, mothers, nurse them. Sing to them. Probably children in heaven this morning that never got there, but mother sang to them. Grown men that lived and died, got an experience with God and died for God, wouldn't have made it. Hadn't been for that early foundation. That was laid. Friend, there's a place in your child's heart and mind for God. And you need to fill it with the good things of God. I say the babe is a trust from God. Well, getting right on down. Your babe this morning, I'm speaking to mothers now with young children. I got something to say to those whose children are grown before I quit. But your babe this morning is born in perilous times, just as our text. My friend, we're living in a perilous time. And a tyrant king. him who Pharaoh was just a type of, is determined that your child's moral being is going to be wrecked. The devil's determined this morning that your child will never live for God, find the peace and happiness of real salvation. He's determined that your child's life is going to be wrecked. Go down the drain, destruction to hell. Oh yeah, he's made well the decree. I say we need two mothers to be just as determined as Jochebed was. She was determined. Be determined this morning, mother. Hide and conceal your children from the many moves that Satan is making today to destroy their young lives. Conceal them from wicked companionship. Know who your children are running around with. Shield them from evil companionship. And I'm going to get down close. You're going to have to shield them from much of the media today. The devil is using the media, radio, TV, magazine, newspapers. The devil is working through it as never before to fill your children's mind with things that they should never be thinking on and have a battle to overcome. You can shield them from them. A man came to our home and he was welcome Saturday and looked in all the rooms because somebody told him that I get up and preach against TV and then go home and watch one. Well, I just told him to come and see. He went all through the house. There's never been a television in my house since I've had a house. Brother, the devil's got a hold of that thing. And the great big end of it, my friend, is not fit for children especially to watch, let alone grown-ups. Man. The devil's working through every avenue. Somebody said, well, we don't have a television. Then watch the magazines that come in your home. Those people wouldn't have a television. That's bringing magazines into the home. That's just as ungodly. Same devil back of it, printing something in your mind that shouldn't be there. I say much of the media today is used of the devil to destroy. Many terrible snares that he's fixed up, and they're set in a fine setting. And you're going to have some spiritual discernment to look back at a fine setting that the devil has set up and see the evil in it. The edict of a wicked press has done terrible work on the minds of our children. Jochebed had faith in God and in her work. I want to hit it again. She wasn't afraid to send him to the Egyptian schools. Why? Her principles, her prayers, her God could keep him. And it did. Right through the most ungodliness and the most temptations that a man could go through, he grew up clean. And come out with her teaching. You read the rest of that chapter, second chapter. I'll not take time. But brother, when he become 40 years of age and told Pharaoh's daughter, that's enough. Brother, he walked out and saw an Egyptian misusing the Hebrew. Where'd he get that teaching of fairness and justice? You know what he done? Wasn't long he saw two of his Hebrew brethren fighting. And he broke them up. What are you brethren fighting for? You're a brother. Don't you know you ought to love each other? Where'd he get that kind of teaching? He didn't get it in the Egyptian schools. The Egyptian school was teaching dog eat dog. Now you can do what you want, but I'm serving a God this morning that's bigger than all our circumstances. He can take you through. You really need to go through. I say her principles, her prayers, her God could keep him. Oh, how we need to shelter our children this morning. And the first move to shelter them is get yourself sheltered. It's impossible for you to shelter your children from the filth and corruption of this world unless you yourself have found a shelter in God. Amen. Could we go just a little farther? Somebody said, what else is there to say? Not too much. God has promised this morning, I'll pay the wages. And I want to encourage you. God's got the greatest wages that's possible to gain for those who will be faithful. And God will never be late and he'll never come up short. Somebody said, what kind of wages does a mother get for raising her children? He pays us joy that's fire-proof, famine-proof, and devil-proof. Brother, there's joy in doing a work for God. There's joy in being faithful to God. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Brother, when you get that kind of joy that's full of glory, you're going to be like Brother Green. After you cried a little bit, your feet want to move. There's a great lesson here. Faith which surrenders its earthly treasures to God in confidence of his care is rewarded and vindicated by receiving them back, glorified and sanctified by the altar on which they were laid. Oh, I don't believe it. I want you to picture. I want you to get a picture of Jochebed as she took Moses from her breast and put him in the ark and pushed him out. Then I want you to get a picture when Miriam went and got her and she come running back up the road and the daughter handed her the baby again. Woo! Did she receive him in a different way? He was mine maybe before. I don't know what will happen to him. He may get killed, but now he's mine with the king's approval. I know he'll live now. None can destroy him. Friend, when we give them to God, and we can't give them to God unless we give ourselves. If we'll give ourselves to God in complete committed life to God, let him clean us up from the sin and the filth. Put a new heart within us. Let our minds be transformed. Amen. And renewed. Get a new mind. Change your thinking. Then you can bring your children. Here they are, Lord. I'm going to do my very best. I'm going to hide them. I'm going to shelter them. I'm going to conceal them the best I can. But when I get to a limit, God, will you take over right there and shelter them the rest of the way? Yeah, I'll take over. Yeah, I'll take over. I'll take care of them. I say Jochebed clasped her recovered darling to her bosom with a deeper gladness and held him by a surer title now. We never feel the preciousness of our dear ones so much as when we've laid them in God's hands and followed his plan for our lives. God says, take the child. I'm through. Nurse it and raise it and I'll pay your wages. You know what I'd say to you this morning? If you ain't on it, get on God's payroll. Hey, man, I'm not talking about salvation this morning that costs. I'm talking about salvation that pays. I'll pay you wages. God's interested in a world that's got high morals. He's interested in families that live in holiness and godliness and righteousness. And God said, do it. I'll pay you wages. I'll pay you wages. I say, get your name on God's payroll. Get delivered from servitude. This mother got delivered from servitude. The rest of them still kept going to the brick kiln, but she didn't have to go. They was working for nothing. She's getting good wages.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Yes, it's true. I say it makes a new fresh. The need is to make a new fresh. Isn't that wonderful? I'm so thankful for that. I forgot my watch. And I refuse to look that way.
Amen.
I'm through. Listen to me. We need to make a new fresh. First the mothers that's got little babes. I want you to feel the responsibility that's come with that great gift God has given you. He's made that baby soft and tender and pliable so you can mold it and make it what it needs to be. I say this morning, if you haven't been doing that, or if you feel that lack of faith in God as you face the task, come and make a new, fresh covenant with God this morning. From now on, God, by your help, I'll be faithful to the trust you've given me. I realize you haven't given me this child to end up in the devil's shops and the devil's way of life. But you've given him to me to mold him and make him. So when he comes to the age of accountability, he'll give his life to you and live for thee and work for you. God, I know you have a way for me. A way that my child can be spared from the decree of Satan. Amen. Some of you mothers say, well, my children's raised up and out. It's not too late. So much better if you'd have made this covenant before they were born or when they were born. But if you haven't and you waited, they're up and out and gone, it's not too late. God's still interested. And God can still give you, amen, the grace and strength you need that through your motherly position or fatherly position, either one, he can work through you to tend to the heart of that child and bring them back. It's not too late. Well, the decree was, Exodus 1:22, every son that's born must be put in the river. Well, Moses was put in the river, but he was put in the ark before he was put in the river. And the river that was swallowing up thousands of little baby boys, swallowing them up, the crocodile just grabbing him and swallowing them. Moses was put in the river, like the king said, but he was put in the ark before he was put in the river. Thank God for an ark this morning. Thank God for a place of safety. An ark that's big enough, amen, and complete enough. There's room for the whole family in the ark. Certainly we must live in this perilous time and through perilous conditions. But the need is to get in the ark.
Amen.
And God will shelter you. Somebody said, what's the ark now? Christ. Christ has been given for an ark, a place of safety, a place of shelter for every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. We can get in Christ, live in Christ, and be sheltered, thank God, from the ruin and the destruction that's working on our world.